like a ring of solid gold, like a vow that is tested, like a covenant of old. Your love is enduring through the winter rain and beyond the horizon, with mercy for today.
Some praise.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is Jesus, there is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
There is power There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, to break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. There's an
stir in me love that's deep, a love that's wide, a love that's sweet, and help me, Lord, to never keep it to myself. And if my heart should dimly burn, and if my feet should fail to run, call my name and I will come right back to you. 'Cause there's no fear in love. There's no fear.
Call my name and I will come right back to you. It's really that simple.
I want to stay close to you, just as simple as this song.
I want to stay close to you. It's really that simple.
I want to stay close to you my whole life long. 'Cause there's no fear in love. There's no fear in love.
Well, here we are, gathered together, abundantly blessed, and enjoying another beautiful sunny day here in L.A., all the while being indoors in this nice, cool, safe, affirming, holy place, Harmony Toluca Lake. Maybe we should take the good news outside, what do you say? But hold on, we got a message in communion, so then after that. So what are we up to this first Sunday in May? You may be wondering. Well, we've been heading, and we're now heading into this home stretch of our current sermon series, Unafraid. And it ties into the most recent book that was written by Reverend Adam Hamilton, who is leading Church of the Resurrection. And since April the 8th, we have covered a whole bunch of territory, of fear-filled territory, how easily we're susceptible to fear. And that it's important to face our fears and how we deal with the fear of the other. Asking, whom do we tend to fear, and how that meshes with the command that's been given by Jesus to love one another. And then, you know, there's this fear of loneliness. That actually was very interesting. This week, I don't know if you saw, but there is a lot of stuff on the internet about loneliness and how it just sucks us into this black hole of social isolation. And we also recognize that we are wired by our divine creator for companionship, and how vital it is for us to be in relationship and in community with one another. And last Sunday, we focused on the fear of failure, being caught in this tug of war between hope and dread. And we're paralyzed by these terrorizing thoughts of what if, and it's rapping on our doors. Yet we also know that we have been created to accomplish more than we can ever imagine, because that's how much God believes in us. And so this leads us to this morning's message for us to be unafraid of life itself. However, how often are we actually afraid of life itself? That we're afraid that we may be living a life that is meaningless, screaming such things at ourselves as saying, what am I doing with my life? And, you know, and then you got age and its rapid addition of years, and it's nipping at our heels, and it's team tagging with this thing called worry that tries to consume us, and it's taking away our very breath. It's like, hello, welcome to growing older and all it brings. Now, while it may seem odd to address this particular fear with a bunch of 20-somethings in the house, along with all of you lively millennials and Gen Xers, it's interesting that everything that I have just mentioned has come my way from the people in those generations. Questioning, concerned, fearful. This is not a limited category only to baby boomers and the silent generation. It is intergenerational. So let us turn now to our scripture focus. Let's see what we can glean from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 18. This is going to be read by Raphael Rosalyn and Beth Mueller. And the translation is from the New Revised Standard Version. This passage reflects our humanity with the firm belief that we are more than our material bodies. The question here is, how do we choose to live? So again, our reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 18.
We have this treasure in clay jars so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us.
We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies.
For while we live, we are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be made visible in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life is at work in you.
But just as we have the same spirit of faith that is in accordance with Scripture, I believed, and so I spoke, we also believe, and so we speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us up also with Jesus, and will bring us with you into his presence.
Yes, everything is for your sake, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day.
For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure, because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen.
For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal.
Thank you, Beth and Raphael, and may God bless this reading to our blessing and understanding. I find it relatable, this metaphor of clay jars that's used by the Apostle Paul in his letter to the church at Corinth. You see, there is absolute beauty about a clay jar. There's something that's in the making of it that is actually magnificent. And you see, it's crafted by the hands of a potter, the maker, if you will. And so what was once a lump of thick earth, well, then it's formed and it's shaped. And then it's put into this fire, and then afterward it is cooled and it's created to be something useful. And most especially back in ancient times, it was to be used to serve the needs of the people. Yet it's fragile. It's oh so easy to break, like our mortal flesh. We're useful, but we're also fragile. We're susceptible to injury, even death. Nonetheless, just because we are, in a way, clay jars, though we may have been chipped, though we may have been smudged, though we may have marks, though we may, you know, we may have suffered some cracks, are we still not of use? And it's here that Paul reminds us that it is in our brokenness that new life bursts forth, that we shouldn't and we mustn't have despair as our human condition, because though death is at work in us, resurrection life completely surpasses it. So I want to go back to my fear-focused question. How do you choose to live life? How? How do we live? How do we view life? How do you view your life? And it's, you know, it's almost like the answer to these questions, it seems like this, it's like a bunk bed mate to the fear of failure. Because it ties in directly into that fear of being insignificant, the fear of not making a difference. Now, whereas the older generations have been much more motivated by things like success and by money and acquisitions, we have the 20 and 30-somethings where they're placing emphasis in a different way. They're placing emphasis on what is experiences that are meaningful. They seek not only relationships. What they want and they yearn for is significant relationships. They want work to be more than work just for work's sake. Where it feels like this is, on one hand, there's never enough time to finish your work, but on the other hand, you're also wondering, am I my work? And this reminds me of something that my dad used to tell me. He said, son, work is work. Forget fun. That's why they call it work. Work is to pay the bills and for you to retire. But here we are with the younger generations, and they're expressing this deep, deep desire for their work to have purpose, for a higher purpose, and indeed a higher meaning, to be impactful. That, and not only just, it's a widespread impact. Because if it is, that's all the better. We're not just talking locally. We're not talking statewide. We're not talking nationally. No, no, no. We're talking globally. Now, what's the challenge with that? Because you see, inside that, there's this swirl of discontent and doubt that's mixed with this feeling that whatever we're doing, well, it's never big enough. You see, there's this strong belief that to make a difference in the world, you have to make it big. The triple B, big, better, best. And what I'm saying here, well, now, what's the truth? You tell me. How many people truly make, well, how many people really truly accomplish something big? I'm talking capital B-I-G with their lives. I'm talking global scale. Let me come at it from a different angle. Does it really take one big thing to make a true difference? To ensure that our lives have meaning? I'd say if we put some serious perspective on this matter, what gives our life meaning are the hundreds and thousands of small acts that we do, what we call acts of love. And these are actually very simple acts, like encourage someone in need. Tell them that you love them. Affirm them. Take flowers to a shut-in, someone who can't leave their home. Let me tell you, that'll brighten their day. How about the old school writing a note card to express your appreciation and gratitude? And I'm going to give you an example. You would be amazed what kind of impact this has when you think about your former school teachers, the principals, and you write them a thank you note to express your appreciation. You will be amazed at how thrilled they are to hear from a former student and to know that they made an impact on you. How about anonymously blessing someone? Buy them coffee or a meal. Surprise! Or give away water or lemonade just because you want to brighten the day of folks. And here's an example. I mean, Jen brought this up earlier. Jen Hanks, our outreach coordinator, and it's an example. It's directly applicable to our church community. Volunteering for a fundraiser at the local fire department to raise money and assist individuals that we don't even know. Simple acts of love. These are simple, easy acts that make a difference. It truly makes a real difference. And all it takes is some thought and willingness, along with follow-through, that we step forward selflessly to get nothing in return. But guess what? We do get something in return because our hearts are filled with joy. You see, all of these small things, all of these little things, when they come together in your life, in the wholeness of our lives, they form the big thing. Therein lies the gift. Just like we want in our lives to be the gift, and a reminder here, that gift is a gift that is given by God. And yet, we can get completely thrown off track with this life is given to us as a gift by God, and what am I doing with my life? Because then you're thrown this wicked curve. There's nothing, my friends, like hearing the word cancer to stir up your sense of mortality. I don't know. You may have been directly impacted by this disease, or you've witnessed it happen to a family member or friend, but there is nothing like cancer or any other number of devastating diseases, some certainly worse than others, to shake your personal world right down to its core. You don't know this, but that happened to me. That happened to me about a decade ago. I was experiencing some breathing issues, And finally, I relented, and I was like, all right, I'll go see the doctor. Ugh, whatever. And so I decided to see my physician at the time. Note, at the time. And during my physical, he says, and I'm not joking, this is what he says, I think you may have lung cancer. Now, you can imagine where my head went. It directly jumped in the car and went off in the races with the fear mobile, directly to the far fear end of, oh, I'm going to die. Now, I'm going to cut to the chase of that fear-filled experience. After a myriad of tests, it turned out that I was actually dealing with the after effects from a bout of pneumonia, not cancer. To relieve my stress, I relieved my physician from any further diagnoses. But when you hear that word, or is something as serious in regard to your health, let me tell you, it quickly changes your perspective on life. One of our leadership team members, Deborah Davis, she can share her own experiences with you having dealt with cancer and how it has changed how she sees her life to see and understand what is truly significant. The small stuff, don't sweat it, right, Deborah? How she chooses to live life. And as we know, like clay jars, our bodies can and they will break down over time. One of our beloved church custodians, Emilio, who was from Guatemala, at the age of 40 years old, he went through colon cancer. And Emilio blessed me, abundantly blessed me, by joining him on his journey to see the oncologist and for chemo treatments and the like. To tell you that I have never met anyone like Emilio, it's hard to put into words to describe. That man was one of the kindest souls I've ever met in my life. He refused to be controlled by his cancer, this disease, and the fear that wanted to accompany it. Facing the most frightening of illnesses, coming to realize that his days were numbered, then accepting his mortality, I'll never forget the day when Emilio came into my office and he sat opposite me and he said, Mark, it's time for me to go home. Knowing that home was Guatemala to be with his family, and also knowing home was to go home to the heavenly realm to be with his divine creator. Here was a man, that man, was truly grateful for each day, recognizing life to be the gift that it is, to understand where his priorities were. And all the while, here he is and he's in his living and is his dying, Emilio still sought out ways to continue to make a difference, to be the difference. This man continued to help others, to encourage others while he's going through all this, and he was such a blessing. For he knew therein that that's life's meaning and purpose. It's not man's idea of meaning and purpose. It's God's idea of meaning and purpose. Amen? Now, you may have seen this question before. It's from a poem called The Summer Day, written by Mary Oliver, and it says, tell me, what is it that you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? And applying that question to what the Apostle Paul tells us in that plan, place your trust in God, knowing that by the grace of the true source, God, that light will always overcome the darkness, and that what resides in our easy-to-break bodies, clay jars, if you will, therein lies the glory of the resurrection waiting to burst forth. So as we make plans, as we ponder to choose how to live our lives, here's where I'm going to push us. Push us, and when I say us, that includes me, so you got to hold me accountable too, so that we can all lead healthier and more productive lives. Let's have more reasonable expectations of ourselves, just like we do others. Rather than focusing on what we don't have, let's focus on what we do have and be more appreciative of that. How about us spend more time, well, let me take that back. spend quality time with friends and family, right? How about setting aside time for fun? Huh? Fun. That it's just as simple as just doing something as a leisure activity or having a hobby or travel. We live in one of the most fascinating places in the world, people. We got a beach, we've got mountains, we have a desert. It's awesome. Negativity? Yep, that's a hanger-on, isn't it? Right? Well, how about us replacing that hanger-on with some positivity? And while you're doing it, I'd say that prayer does a whole world of good here. And here's a final one as I close today's message. Let's widen our life experiences. Widen our life experiences. Why do I say that? Because when we do that, it helps us face adversity. It truly does. Let's be unafraid to live by a life that is focusing on the present moment than on the fearful future. To fully live in the present, the gift. Let's release our very lives to our divine creator, where we have and can find and will find the ultimate peace. You want your life to be meaningful? There it is. Amen. Amen.
Why don't you stand and worship with us on this last song? Thank you for joining us today.
I am not forgotten.
I am not forgotten. I am not forgotten. I am not forgotten.
God bless.